Amen. Thank you, Brother Bill, so much for leading us in worship tonight. What a great song, Come Just As You Are. Aren't you glad that you can come to Jesus just as you are? And it doesn't matter how far away from God you are, no matter how badly you have blown it, you can always come to Jesus and find life in Him. And that's why we're here this evening, to celebrate Christ. And we desire to make much of Him tonight. Every time we gather here, we want to make much of Jesus. Amen. So thank you for making Wednesday nights a priority in your lives. I always look forward to seeing you each week. And there's just something special about Wednesday nights. It's a smaller group, obviously. But there's a warmth here that I have always really enjoyed. So thank you for being a very special part of my life and being such an encouragement to me. It's an honor tonight to stand here tonight. I'm grateful for Dr. May for giving me this opportunity to be here tonight. So if you would please open your Bible with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10 are the verses we're going to be looking at tonight. Familiar text. So we're going to take a time travel tonight back to our childhood when we learned about a man named Zacchaeus. And tonight we're going to talk about lessons learned in a sycamore tree. You know, life is all about lessons, is it not? Seems like every passing day you're learning something new about life, things that happen in our lives that teach us valuable lessons. You know, sometimes they're painful experiences. Other times they're more pleasant and happier occasions. But we're grateful for those seasons of life where we can learn things to help us become better people. You know, this week I came across a social media post that really made me laugh when I read it. And it was written by a senior adult who was sharing some practical life lessons that she's learned over the years. And I'm sure many of you can relate to some of these stories or some of these lessons. So let me share just a few of her findings with you. Here's what she says. Time may be a great healer, but it is a lousy beautician. Amen. I like that one. With age comes wisdom, but sometimes age comes alone. Growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional. Forget the health food. I need all the preservatives I can get. When you fall down, here's a good one. When you fall down, think of what else you can do while you're down there. You know you're getting old when you get the same sensation from a rocking chair that you once got from a roller coaster. You know, it's frustrating when you know all the answers, but nobody bothers to ask the questions. So those are great life lessons. You know, I want to introduce to a man tonight that learned some valuable life-changing lessons while sitting in a tree. And you know the story very well. And one of my earliest memories of Sunday school was learning about this wee little man named Zacchaeus. You know, my Sunday school teacher used to sing to us this familiar song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed him by, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. And I can remember being a little guy, singing that song along with my Sunday school teacher, thinking how wonderful it would be if Jesus could go home with me. Aren't you glad Jesus has gone home with you? No, Zacchaeus was an interesting man. You know, as I read this text in just a moment, I want you to envision yourself being in the tree with Zacchaeus. And as I read this text, perhaps you want to just close your eyes and maybe listen as I read, but I want you to personalize this story as much as possible. Because the lessons that Zacchaeus learned that day are very appropriate for you and me as well. You know, this is one of the most beloved stories for children as well as for adults. And I believe the Lord wants to speak into our lives this evening through this amazing story. Listen as I read. He, being Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." As we look at our story this evening, I want us to look at the context here. I want us to first of all, at the setting. Jericho was an ancient but very important city. And as Jesus passed through the city on his way to Jerusalem, it seemed that his purpose for passing through Jericho was to have this encounter with a man named Zacchaeus. Now, the text here sounds as if this was an unplanned leisurely stroll through Jericho, but that was not the case. The Lord had been in Galilee earlier and was headed to Jerusalem to complete his mission here on earth by dying for our sins and rising again. Now, for the Lord to have passed through Jericho from Galilee would mean that he had to go miles out of the way on treacherous territory to get to Jerusalem. Listen, one sinner was worth the walk. One sinner was worth the walk. Back in chapter 15, Jesus told the parable of the lost sheep. You remember the story. It's a beautiful story of how an unnamed shepherd left his 99 sheep to go and find one sheep that had left the fold. And the shepherd never stopped seeking until he found that one sheep. And when he did and returned, there was great rejoicing. Aren't you glad that the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus, never gave up searching for you? I'm so thankful that he never gives up. You know, ancient Jericho was a prosperous city. It had great palm forests and world-famous balsam groves, which perfumed the air for miles and miles around. You know, its gardens of roses were known far and wide. Men called it the City of Palms. The Jewish historian Josephus called it a divine region. He said it was the very, very best of Palestine. The Romans carried its dates and balsam all over the world, and they profited greatly from both. So Jericho was truly a beautiful place. So there's the setting, but secondly, let's look at the person, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was not only a tax collector, but our text tells us this evening that he was the chief tax collector. And the Jews hated him because of it. And this was not only due to their natural dislike of taxes, but more so because of the practice known as tax farming. The tax collector made his profit on whatever extra he could get away with charging his victim. So a tax collector, as you well know, was highly motivated to make the taxes as high as possible so that he could make greater profits. You know, one commentator wrote that the title chief tax collector is not found anywhere else in the Bible. So its precise significance isn't really known. But it seems to point to the head of the local taxation department. So in other words, Zacchaeus was a very affluent man. He was a man of power and he was a man of prestige. But amazingly, the name Zacchaeus actually means pure one. That would be laughable, would it not? Pure one. This man was anything but pure until he met the Lord. You know, he was a wretch, and Zacchaeus was far from God, and he knew it. Zacchaeus had a longing to see Jesus. In fact, he sought after him. And perhaps Zacchaeus had heard that Jesus accepted broken, lost, messed up people like him, and he longed to see this remarkable man as he made his way through Jericho. Our text tells us that Zacchaeus was short of stature, a short man. So his natural size gave him a disadvantage in finding Christ. You know, it also probably affected his personality. We can imagine how Zacchaeus was mocked and hated by others, and how he returned the favor by increasing taxes on his victims. But if Zacchaeus had a small heart, he would have given up and not worked so hard to meet Jesus. But Zacchaeus had a great resolve, a great will to see the Lord. And so his passion was so real that he could not be stopped. So what did he do? He climbs up in a sycamore tree. He ran ahead and climbed up in a tree because he wanted to see the Lord. But you know, Zacchaeus didn't mind doing something that was beneath the dignity of his office by climbing up in a tree to see the Lord. So here we are. We have visited the city of Jericho. We've looked at the setting. We've identified the man Zacchaeus. I want us to consider now some lessons for us this evening as we consider this story, and imagine yourself sitting on that tree limb with him, and you're taking all this in yourself for the first time. So here's the first lesson I want us to see. He sees me. He sees me. In verse 5, the text says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him." He looked up and saw him. Now, can you imagine the shock Zacchaeus must have experienced as he and the Lord made eye contact together for the very first time? He did not expect that. So it was a real surprise for Zacchaeus. But you know what, friends? Listen, he could not hide from the Lord, nor can we. You cannot hide from the Lord. You cannot hide from Jesus regardless of how hard you try to avoid him. You can run, but you cannot hide. Amen? You know, Psalm 139 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me." You know, it's interesting, throughout Scripture, God is called by various names. And in many instances, it was people in the Bible who gave the Lord the names that he had, which went along with his character. But on other occasions, it was the Lord himself who identified different names for himself. But on one instance, a woman named Hagar first used one of these names. And when God met her in her distress in Genesis 16:34, she said, "You are the God who sees me. You are the God who sees me. I have now seen the one who sees me." So the phrase here, "the God who sees me," is translated as El Roy in Hebrew. Now, El Roy is the God who numbers the hairs on our heads, and he counts every tear. He knows every detail of our circumstances. And listen, friends, when we pray to El Roy, we are praying to the God who sees everything about us. He sees it all. Even the most attentive parent must sleep, but our Heavenly Father never closes His eyes to us. I love Zephaniah 3:17 that says, God rejoices over us with singing. So even when we are sleeping, the Lord sees us and He sings over us with great delight. Listen, Elroy never misses a detail of what is happening in our lives. He never misses a thing. He sees it all, good and bad. Shortly after our daughter Erin's heart transplant, she was released from the hospital many, many weeks after the transplant. And one day, Denise and I were taking Erin back to Emory for a checkup, and they were examining her heart to see whether there was any hint of rejection beginning to set in. And of course, this was back during COVID. All that was still going on. And so only Denise and Erin could go actually into the building. And so I had to sit outside. So I sat out on a park bench. So as I was sitting there, my heart was anxious. I was concerned about Erin. I was concerned about the results that we were going to be getting. And so I began to pray. And I cried out to the Lord, please help us. And as I was praying, I looked up, and to my right was a tiny sparrow. That sparrow right there. It was just sitting there looking at me. In fact, it stood there while I took its picture. It's like it was posing for a picture. And so I took its picture, and it was like God was reminding me that I am with you. I see you, Richard. I see your daughter. You know, I was reminded of that grand old song we used to sing, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Friend, I don't know what circumstances you are facing this evening, what hardships, difficulties, trials and struggles, sicknesses, maybe some shame, maybe there's grief in your life. I'm here to tell you this evening that Jesus sees you. And you will never escape His notice. What a great lesson. He sees you. But secondly, this evening, I want you to know that He knows me. He knows me. In verse 5, the text says, He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus. So not only does He see Zacchaeus, but Jesus knew his name. Jesus called him by name. So Jesus not only knew his name, but Jesus also knew his need. He knew Zacchaeus was a wealthy man, but He also knew that Zacchaeus was a wretch, that he was lost and broken. Jesus knew that he was hurting in his heart, and there was a giant longing in his small frame that could not be satisfied. So Zacchaeus was desperate to see Jesus. So in his desperation, he did something undignified. He climbed up into this tree. He didn't care who saw it. He didn't care if people laughed at him, but he was desperate to see the Lord, and his desperation caught the attention of the Lord Jesus. You know, I'm reminded of Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, that says these words, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Jesus knows you as well. He knows your circumstances. He knows your hurts, your loneliness, your frustrations, your emptiness. He knows your home life. He knows your marriage, your children, your job. He knows all about you. The Savior is passing by, and His gracious invitation is to come. Whether you're a believer or a non-believer, the invitation is still the same. It's come. I love that word, come. I pointed this out a couple weeks ago in my message. You know what the word come means? It means you don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to stay in brokenness and sadness and sorrow and frustration. Jesus says, come. Come. You know, Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a glorious promise. We've learned tonight that Jesus sees us and He knows us. But thirdly this evening, I want you to see that He wants me. He wants me. He sees me. He knows me. He wants me. In verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. You know, I'm sure Zacchaeus couldn't believe what he was hearing. That the Lord that he had come to see actually spoke with him and graciously connected with him and told Zacchaeus that he was even willing to go to his house. You know, this verse tells us a lot about the character of Jesus. He's not angry. He's not mean-spirited. He wasn't stoic. You know, you've seen some of these older movies depicting the life of Jesus from back in the 40s and the 50s. And those movies always depicted the Lord as just being so angry and stern-faced and never smiling. You know, I appreciated the latter movies that have come out that picture Jesus in a different way as being someone who connects with people, one who smiles, one who is gentle and kind, and that's the Jesus I know. Amen? That's the Jesus I know, and that was the Jesus Zacchaeus encountered. You know what, folks? You're not here tonight by accident. I don't know what motivated you to come tonight, but God has a purpose for you and your life. He sees you, He knows you, and tonight He wants you and me to experience His grace and His mercy. You know, verse 6 says, and He hurried and came down and received Him gladly. You know, I believe this was the turning point for Zacchaeus' life. He received Christ. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God, even to those that believe on His name. You know, the only way that Jesus can affect your life is for you to personally receive Him by faith. The only way that Jesus can impact your life is for you to believe Him. Zacchaeus did, and his life was never the same again. Zacchaeus learned that evening that Jesus saw him, knew him, and wanted him. But lastly tonight, I want us to see He loves me. He loves me. In verses 7 to 10, the text says, when the people saw this, they all began to complain, saying, He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. But Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I am giving to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I am giving back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So listen, Jesus was the true definition of a friend to Zacchaeus. Jesus loved him and Jesus met his need. No one else could help him. This man was a miserable wretch, far from God. But Jesus, in his grace and kindness, saw him and called him to himself. Jesus is the friend of sinners. But you know what? Jesus is the friend of saints as well. Amen. You know, a friend is someone who is walking into your life when everyone else has walked out. A friend is someone who knows you as you really are, but loves you anyway. Jesus was that friend. You know, the love of Jesus was so real to Zacchaeus that it literally changed his life. You know, how do you know when you've met the Lord? You know it's real when your life is changed. There's radical change. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So a small man by human standards had become a big man in the kingdom of God. He was not saved because he made a bunch of promises to God. Jesus saved him because Zacchaeus received God's word by faith. You know, having trusted in Christ, Zacchaeus' life bore the evidence of the change that only Christ can bring. He chose to make restitution with those that he had wronged in his former life. You know, saving faith is more than just pious words. It's more than just words of resolve. Saving faith creates a living union with Christ and results in a radically changed life. And so it was for Zacchaeus. So you see, friends, in a spiritual sense, all of us are small in stature because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one measures up to God's standard. No one. And all of us are too little to enter the kingdom of God on our own. We need a Savior. And that's why Jesus came. So friends, listen, as we conclude tonight, I want us to leave here tonight encouraged because of these four life-changing truths. He sees me, he knows me, he wants me, he loves me. Oh, what a Savior. Let's pray together. Lord, how we thank you for your word. Thank you for being a loving Savior. He would come into this world to save lost, broken, messed up people like Zacchaeus. Broken and messed up people just like me. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you see us, you know us, you want us, and you love us. Lord, may we live that out this evening. And may our hearts be filled with the joy of knowing Christ, just as Zacchaeus encountered Christ and his life was never the same again. Lord, there's a world out there that desperately needs to hear the good news of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards of the gospel by sharing Jesus with those around us. So, Lord, we ask now that you dismiss us with your favor and with the joy of the Lord in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night.